The geriatrician will intervene late in the day when pathology is becoming evident, and the geriatrician will try and hold back the sands of time and stop the accumulation of side effects from causing the pathology quite so soon. Of course, it's a very short-termist strategy. It's a losing battle because the things that are causing the pathology are becoming more abundant as time goes on. The gerontology approach looks much more promising on the surface because it's, you know, prevention is better than cure. But unfortunately, the thing is that we don't understand metabolism very well. In fact, we have a pitifully poor understanding of how organisms work. Even cells we're not really too good on yet. We discover things like, for example, RNA interference only a few years ago, and this is a really fundamental component of how cells work. Basically, gerontology is a fine approach in the end, but it is not an approach whose time has come when we're talking about intervention. So then, what do we do about that? I mean, that's a fine logic. That sounds pretty convincing, pretty ironclad, doesn't it? But it isn't. Before I tell you why it isn't, I'm going to go a little bit into what I'm calling step two. Just suppose, as I said, that we do acquire, let's say we do it today, for sake of argument, the ability to confer 30 extra years of healthy life on people who are already in middle age, let's say 55. I'm going to call that robust human rejuvenation. Okay? What would that actually mean for how long people of various ages today, or equivalently of various ages at the time that these therapies arrive, would actually live? In order to answer that question, you might think it's simple, but it's not simple. We can't just say, well, if they're young enough to benefit from these therapies, then they'll live 30 years longer. That's the wrong answer. And the reason it's the wrong answer is because of progress. There are two sorts of technological progress, really, for this purpose. There are fundamental major breakthroughs, and there are incremental refinements of those breakthroughs. Now, they differ a great deal in terms of the predictability of time frames. Fundamental breakthroughs, very hard to predict how long it's going to take to make a fundamental breakthrough. It was a very long time ago that we decided that flying would be fun, and it took us until 1903 to actually work out how to do it. But after that, things were pretty steady and pretty uniform. I think this is a reasonable sequence of events that happened in the progression of the technology of powered flight. We can think, really, that each one is sort of beyond the imagination of the inventors of the previous one, if you like. It's a sort of... The incremental advances have added up to something which is not incremental anymore. This is the sort of thing you see after a fundamental breakthrough. And you see it in all sorts of technologies. Computers, you can look at a more or less parallel timeline that happened, of course, a bit later. You can look at medical care. I mean, hygiene, vaccines, antibiotics, you know, the same sort of time frame. So I think that actually step two that I called a step a moment ago isn't a step at all. That, in fact, the people who are young enough to benefit from these first therapies that give this moderate amount of life extension, even though those people are already middle-aged when the therapies arrive, will be at some sort of cusp. They will mostly survive long enough to receive improved treatments that will give them a further 30 or maybe 50 years. In other words, they will be staying ahead of the game.